The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Super excited about a brand new show here on Tony Curry Radio. Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry, it's the Kiefer and Curry Show. This is our first installment. First of all, Kip, you know how much I love you. I've known you for a long period of time, and I love you enough to not have you on once, but twice on Tony Curry Radio and, of course, the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network with Wanna Bet, which just ended with the Super Bowl, and, of course, Need to Know, which is one of my favorite shows. I record it every single week, and I'm in here in stitches. But thank you so much, and, of course, I was trying to do some math, and I think between the two of us, we have about 40 or 50,000 years of sports. Experience, if you will, of talking about sports. So thank you so much for coming on the Kiefer and Curry Show.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, Tony. I first came to Birmingham in 1992. I am a huge classic rock guy, which at that point it was just rock. It wasn't classic. But the first thing I looked for when I arrived in Birmingham was the go-to place for my style of music. And I discovered Tony Curry about 3 days into my stint in Birmingham. So I have been a fan for 30 some odd years and a great admirer of everything you do, and loved your time on Jocks, trying to keep our kicker from Auburn and our quarterback from Alabama in line all those years. We're not radio guys, but they, of course, that show worked very well. So this is a big thrill for me, and I'm looking forward to us kicking around topics of interest every week.
So we're recording this show on Fat Tuesday. I'm Catholic, and I'm thinking about giving up All-Star games for Lent. You and I talked about the NBA All-Star game. I got about a million different ways I want to go on the NBA. You obviously watched the game because I know you're an NBA fan, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but the NBA doesn't want you. Because you're white and you're older, and I'm not sure what Republican or a Democratic affiliation you have, but I will get into some of those numbers. First of all, and I don't really want to get into should we have All-Star games anymore, because I just watched this NFL laughingstock game, the flag football dodgeball kick-tack-toe. I'm like, what the hell are we doing? If you can't do it right, then just say you can't do it. Now, I know that the purists and the fans who love their sports are like, listen, I'd rather watch a bunch of guys throwing dodgeballs at each other for 3 or 4 hours as opposed to have nothing on. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Maybe this is a time to catch up on women's basketball or something.
Yeah, something.
But I mean, you know, in last year's NBA All-Star game, I actually really enjoyed it. I mean, there was a little defense in the fact that they've got a money affiliation with it to obviously take care of their charities. I wish the affiliation was actually in their own pockets because I think they'd play differently. But I mean, the game the other night, the over-under 323.5, it ended up hitting 359. It wasn't even close. I just want to see some semblance. And I realize they don't want to get banged up. I know they don't want to get injured. We saw Giannis Antetokounmpo, who, of course, was in there for one play. And, of course, he banged up his wrist again. We saw LeBron James hit his wrist on the rim so many times that he banged up his wrist. So there are injuries even when you allow no defense. But I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think about All-Star games, certainly when it comes to the NBA, the NFL, and then maybe your favorite All-Star game that's out there right now. And I'm imagining that's Major League Baseball.
Yeah, baseball still probably the most legitimate competition of them all, although the American League always wins, which being a National League guy really grates, but well, that's another subject. But the Major League Baseball controversy, of course, has been centered around the fact that for several years, the team that won, the league that won, got to have home field advantage in the World Series. And a lot of people decried that as just being, you know, terrible. This is an exhibition game. Why should it have those kind of implications? But at least it attached some kind of significance to the game. Now they've bowed to the pressure and gotten out of that. But let's focus on the NBA All-Star game, because that's what you brought up. Football is an absolute joke. My son is in Las Vegas. He covered some of those events and was describing just the whole atmosphere. He said it was kind of fun, but it was just kind of silly. I asked him, when was the mashed potato flinging competition? Because that would have been very interesting to watch. But anyway, so we don't even need to consider football. Football is a sideshow. I guess the NFL thinks it's so popular that putting on any kind of programming is going to work. But the NBA still bills their game and their skills competition, the slam dunk contest, which I think has lost its luster completely after being a compelling event for its initial years, is the prelude, of course. But the game itself, it's almost unwatchable. I don't think it has any legitimacy as a competition. There are some spectacular plays and things because, like you said, it's the ultimate, we used to call it the Olé concept of defense. You know, you just kind of wave your cape and step aside. It just takes away from the intensity of what basketball is, which is a game on two sides of the court. And if it's just an offensive showcase, why don't we just do, I remember way back when, this is going to date me like so many other things, but the original concept of girls basketball was six players on the court, but two of them couldn't cross the center line.
Yep.
If you remember that. And maybe that's what we need to go back to in the NBA. Let's just keep everybody, you know, whoever has the ball, just let them take it down there and do a spectacular dunk or fire one up from 40 feet because there's just token resistance, if any resistance defensively. The defenders just get in the way in the All-Star game. Let's just keep it territorial. When they get the rebound, fast break, it's 5-on-0 and see what you can come up with.
Now, you know, I'm watching that and I kept thinking of The Running Man. You remember the Arnold Schwarzenegger
movie? With
Dawson, because you're watching this show, and if you've never seen it, it's a great movie. I think it was set probably 25, 30 years ago. And obviously, yep, it's a gladiator type of thing where they're trying to kill a guy, but it turns into be just a huge entertainment type of thing where there's music being played and there's crowds screaming and everything else. And you're like, and this is all in the death of a man. And I think this is maybe in the death of an All-Star game. In between watching Burma Boy, who I don't know who the hell Burma. Listen, I'm 57. I'm turning 57 in a couple weeks. I think my brain's about 37, and I feel like my body's around 27. I don't know who Rima or Rema is. I don't know who the Thames are. I do know who Post Malone is. I was so out of my element watching the All-Star game the other night. And the first thing I thought of, and I'm sitting there watching with my 18-year-old son, and I like the NBA. I'm not one of those guys where there's fouls every time, and I love college basketball as much as I like the NBA, and I like NBA as much as the college basketball. And it may be because, much like you, I have a younger son who's really taught me how to really enjoy the game. I've been to Memphis several times. I'm going to see them play the Lakers later on this weekend, and they got my money. It's going to cost me $800 to go watch the Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies play this weekend, and I thoroughly enjoy the game. But I felt like such an outsider watching the All-Star game and its festivities. And I'll go back to a couple of years ago. I think it was what was the band that played the halftime show? Shut Up and Dance with Me. Whoever sings that song actually did a halftime show, and it was the most uncomfortable band I've ever seen because they were a pasty white band. You got Adam Silver, who is 60 years old, looks nothing like the face of the league that he represents. And then I started going through some numbers and look at some things, and I want to share those with you. But I'm like, I've been in the business for 43 years. You've been in the business for at least that long. Who and why are you marketing, and how do you expand that? The NBA has got the largest fan base by almost a 2-to-1 count over the second largest fan base in all of sports in the world, and that being the National Football League. And I think the NFL is doing a great job at trying to expand that by having games in Germany and Mexico City and London and everything else. The NBA obviously has got an international footprint everywhere, and I get that. But what I don't understand is why they continually market towards an audience that, quite frankly, they don't have. I'm going to give you some numbers, and this may blow you away. Do you know what the average age of an NBA fan is?
I would guess somewhere in maybe the upper 40s.
Let's go 37 years of age. I thought that was older than I thought it would be, just because I've been to games and I see a lot of kids that seem like they got a lot of money. I don't know where they get it from that are in their 20s. 42% of NBA fans are Democrats. And also, out of the four major sports, the NBA has by far the lowest Republican base in all of sports, which I think is really interesting. And then I was going just by ethnicity, because when you're talking about the largest contingency of African-Americans playing a particular game, which is fine. I have no problem with that. I'm going to spend the money to watch
them. They're the best players. That's who should be playing.
I don't care if you look like Luka. I don't care if you look at LeBron. As long as you're putting the ball in the hoop and you're making your
entertaining, right.
I love that.
Absolutely.
But the level of interest in the National Basketball Association, according to Statista, this is avid fans, 14% white, 22% Hispanic. I've been to the Grizzly games. I don't see Hispanics there. 40% black. And we're not talking about people that like the NBA. We're talking about people that buy their merchandise, that spend money on their tickets, get season tickets and everything else, and then 14% other. If you break it down to avid fans and casual fans, 76% of all African-Americans love the NBA. Love the NBA. And then 42% of white, and then 59% of Hispanic. And so I'm trying to think of myself, okay, you know what your fan base is. You know what you're going after. And by the way, your average NBA fan usually makes somewhere between $120,000 and $130,000 a year, which has got to be one of the highest salaries of any fan base as well. But
you
do have to make that kind of cash if you want to go to an NBA game. Dude, I used to go to Riverfront Stadium and get top six tickets for $3 a piece.
You don't
get that at the Forum in Memphis. I got news for you. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm a 57-year-old white guy who wants to embrace your sport. Throw me a bone. Give me something. Make me feel welcome. And I did not feel welcome. I did at the Memphis game only because they're super nice in Memphis, and I'm a fan. I've already spent my money. So I've come into their home, and they've set the table for me, and they're going to show me a good time. But watching it on television, I just don't feel like they're going after me. And I'm thinking to myself, is this the stodgy white guy that tells people to get off his lawn? Has my prime passed me because I'm no longer wanted by the NBA? Or are they just missing the boat?
You know, Tony, I've been to two NBA games live this year. Unlike you, who has been to Memphis, I've been to a game in New Orleans with the Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns, which was a big matchup of two really highly placed teams at the time, to see Zion Williamson, who is absolutely must-see TV. But went to the Smoothie King Arena for that event. And I've also been to a Hawks-Miami Heat game this year over at Phillips Arena in Atlanta. And I can tell you that as a sports fan, I mean, one of the first games, professional games I ever attended was in the mid-60s. My uncle took me to a Baltimore Bullets game against the Philadelphia 76ers.
Nice.
And I absolutely fell in love with the game. The NBA atmosphere, just the skill level. These are the premier athletes in the world doing their thing. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch. So my point is, going to both those games I went to this year, and I had the same impression last year, but I think it's even gotten worse, is my fan experience is so negative that the game to me is like an afterthought. It's like, okay, we've got this game, but now we need to build all kinds of things around it because people don't have the attention span
yes.
to just sit there and watch the game. It's incredible, Tony. Atlanta's worse than New Orleans in this particular. One thing I cannot stand is there's a guy with a microphone. You know, you have the PA guy who goes out of his mind if somebody makes a shot. Yeah. Or in Atlanta's case, this guy is kind of, if it's an offensive foul against the other team, he says, that foul was offensive. I mean, it's a comedy act, too. You know, but there's another guy with a microphone. And we've seen this, remember, in college football back in the day. The cheerleaders always had a microphone with a small little box right in front of the student section. But now this guy has a different guy has a microphone, and it's just blaring loud over the whole PA system. And I poked my son the last game we went to and said, is that the PA guy? And he goes, no, that's the shout leader. I said, the shout leader? You got to be kidding me. And this guy, Tony, every time, it could be a 45-point game, and every time the possession changes to the road team, he starts yelling into the microphone, defense! Defense!
Yeah.
That's supposed to be a crowd thing. That's not supposed to be, you don't need a shout leader. So that's the first thing that alienated me. And he's always saying, let's go, and you know, I don't need a PA cheerleader. But also in New Orleans, they're the worst offenders in this case. There is, they announced before the game proudly, we've got four pop-up concerts for you in the midst of the game. So during a timeout or between quarters, these performers run on the stage or around the middle court, and in the loudest atmosphere possible, they're just playing, you know, really super heavy bass rap music, which, you know, I've got no problem with rap music. I know when I was a kid with my music, probably it wasn't the favorite of my parents, but that's just really not my style. But I can't even imagine how coaches can even talk to their teams. It's blaringly loud and it's continuous. And then here's the worst thing. During play, the music never stops. It's not live. It's piped in, but it's just the same decibel level. And it's just exhausting to me that even when your team has the ball, that all this is going on. It, the fan experience for me is ruined. I'm there to watch the game, not to enjoy all of the sideshows. And they've got, of course, thousands of promotions. There's always some kind of contest where they're playing some kind of game where somebody has to guess this or pick that. And, you know, to me, it's just, it just takes away from the whole experience of going to watch one of the most spectacular athletic contests you can possibly see.
I was told Walk the Moon was the band, that pasty white band that played the NBA All-Star game a couple of years ago. And it was just so, it was so uncomfortable. Shut Up and Dance With Me, which is, you know, you, if you saw, if you saw the halftime show of the All-Star game and the opening of what you saw with Burma Boy, it was night and day. And quite frankly, again, I brought this up, Adam Silver is going to turn 61 coming up here in a few weeks. Do you think he listens to some Burma Boy on the way out of the All-Star game from Salt Lake City?
I would not think so, no.
I don't think so either. Now, listen, you're talking to a guy that used to do the PA for the Birmingham Fire back in 1992 for the Maloof family.
Right.
And at the time, I was on top of the world singing Looking Down on Creation. I was getting after it. And they wanted a guy that was going to get out there and really push some buttons. And they really wanted me to. And the only reason I did it was $75 a game. They had six home games, so I made like $400. And by the way, they didn't pay to the end of the season. And of course, the owner drove around that yellow Lamborghini all over town. It was the only yellow Lamborghini we've ever seen in the streets of Birmingham. And I made out with his sister. But that's a different story for a different time. And she only did that because I was on Rock 99.5 and she wanted me to give away free tickets. She knew that I would talk about the Birmingham Fire if she was giving me some lip service on the backside. Nice. So yeah, it worked out really well for both times.
Yeah, that's a win-win.
She flew me all over the country. It was wonderful. And she was fun to look at. She looked like Peg Bundy, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. She was fake from top to bottom. I'd have it no other way. And I, you know, so I understand. And then I was also asked to be the shout leader for the, Birmingham squadron. And I said, I'm good. I totally understand. I know they're trying to make, and this is one thing that a lot of people, you know, it's amazing. People that love the NBA hate Major League Baseball. I don't know why. I'm not one of those guys, but we're on the outside looking in. People that are progressive, they consider themselves literal and liberal. They consider themselves outside the box. They can't stand to watch. I mean, oh my gosh, the worst thing in the world is if a Major League Baseball game goes extra innings and I'm about ready to pee my pants. I'm excited. I'm like, we're getting free baseball. This is a good thing. I mean, a day-night doubleheader, which we never have anymore, I used to love that. If I could spend all day at a Major League Baseball park, first of all, you're getting two for the price of one. So I get that. But yeah, from the, and I think, you know, how many times you go to the TED? The TED was the first time, and I can't believe they built that stadium in, what was it, 13, 14 years and tore it down. The first time I went to a Major League Baseball game there was the first time where I experienced the experience. And that was, it was hard to talk to anybody during a 3.5 hour Major League Baseball game because there was always walk-up music. There were people shouting in your ears. There were shout leaders. And maybe this is a testament, and I hate to date ourselves because I think we're both really young at heart. I think this is a testament to the new world we live in where we have to be constantly entertained.
I think you hit that right on the head.
I mean, look at Kip. When I had a 27-inch tube TV, it was the biggest damn TV you could get. It was $899. I pulled it out the other day, plugged it into the wall. I still have it down in the basement. Try watching the swim lane of ESPN scores at the bottom on a 27-inch tube TV. You can't see it.
Ain't happening.
And now I'm watching ESPN right now, and all you see is the head, and there's numbers. If you're watching the Daily Wager, there's numbers on both sides. We love information. We want it to come out, and we want to be entertained 24 hours a day. And maybe that's one of the things that's wrong with this world. We can't just chill out and enjoy the support and the sport that's in front of our eyeballs.
Well, and that's exactly my point. I go to games because I appreciate so much all of the aspects of various sports. I talk about this all the time. Baseball is, if people don't like baseball, it's because they really don't understand that there's so much going on between every pitch. It's not a boring game. That is really a bad misconception of people that really don't understand the strategy and what's happening behind the scenes with every pitch in a baseball game. But that's fine, because I think you nailed it right there, that the marketers for sports now, particularly professional sports, I think the college game is still not as tainted by all of this show business as professional sports, but it's still getting there, and I'm sad to say that I imagine in the next couple of years it's probably going to be on that same level. But I appreciate all of the things in each particular sport: football, baseball, basketball, hockey. Hockey's another one. Go to games a lot in Las Vegas, where my older son lives, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and it's in Las Vegas, so it has to be showtime.
Absolutely,
but even hockey is hyped up so much there. It's amazing, which, you know, again, all those sports have so many elements that I just find to be fascinating and beautiful and intriguing. And I guess it's as a pure sports fan, it's hard to accept this era of the fans have to, and this philosophy that these presenters of these sports have, that the fans have to be constantly entertained. There can't be a moment to catch your breath, to call timeout, to, you know, talk to the guy next to you about, okay, what they need to do here. This is a key situation. And that's what bothers me too. In the NBA, it can be a 40-point game or a 1-point game down the stretch, and you're still getting the same interference and intrusion on the game, in my opinion. And it makes me not want to go to games live. I'm getting ready to move, and I'm going to install something that I've wanted forever, a basic dominating home theater situation with a gigantic screen projection.
Yes.
And Tony, I may never leave that area ever again. I might watch every sports event. I may never go to another game live.
I may have to make. And by the way, TVs now, 75-inch TVs, $230. You can have a whole wall of those now, Kip. I mean,
it's incredible.
Before, the only people that had five or six TVs on one wall back in our days were bookies. That was it. Well, you know,
for sure.
Yeah, and now you can have five or six and just have it in your man cave. He's Kip Kiefer. I'm Tony Curry. It's the Curry and Kiefer Show, the Kiefer and Curry Show. We talk about things that are important to us every single week. I want to go off a little bit more on what you, and you bring up a great point too. Again, I've been around a little bit, but I consider myself wise to a lot of these things. I watch television commercials as much as I watch the content around them, because I want to know who they're targeting. And I'm trying to figure out, I understand why the NBA is targeting after their P1s and their fan base. I get that. But if you want to expand, and it's one of the largest and fastest growing fan bases in the country, why can't I be part of that? I understand that when I watch a car commercial, the black woman will be driving and the white guy will be sitting in the front seat. They want to hit all spectrums. When you see a campfire, used to talk about the Docker commercials, you had to have a black guy, an Asian guy, a white guy, and a Latino. I get that. They want to mass coverage and generalize everyone that's watching. I also understand that now, particularly on some shows I watch, for example, Friends, I see a lot of two men kissing each other for an HIV commercial. I'm thinking to myself, okay, why are they targeting Friends? Does that mean there's a lot of LGBTQ+ people watching Friends? I don't know. I know that when I'm watching a television program and I see AARP commercials and incontinence commercials over and over and over again, it's probably time to change the channel, because I'm thinking to myself, this is outside my realm, or maybe I'm watching old man TV a little too soon in my life. So if you are a marketing director, for the National Basketball Association. And again, Roger Goodell, I think, is a perfect face for the NFL. I really think, and we were trying to fire him 15 years ago. He's made it.
Yep.
He's done pretty well. And even the players, I think the NFLPA like him. Manfred, I get that with Major League Baseball. Adam Silver does not. Stern, I could see it. Silver doesn't fit in at all. But who are they marketing and why are they marketing after those particular fans when you talk about the NBA? Because I want to watch the NBA. I totally agree with you. A lot of people say there's fouls, they travel on every play. I think it's like watching you and I play tennis on a Saturday than watching Wimbledon on Sunday. I think it's just much better players who have honed in on their skills. The game's so much faster. I think it's so much fun to watch. But I want to be part of that fan base, and I want them to market things at me, and I never feel like they do.
Yeah, it's certainly we're not the target audience at all. And it's kind of amazing to me that you mentioned before, I would say that a lot of what you see is, and I know from being a marketing director, I know 25 to 54 is supposedly the dominant group that you try to gear your advertising to.
It's the money shot, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't see beyond the mid 40s or even maybe 240. I think it's more 25 to 40 is what they're really aiming at. And Tony, you just mentioned how much it costs to go to an NBA game. Why is that the target audience? Because you would think those are the people that are least in position.
No doubt.
And maybe it's some kind of long-term strategy to cultivate these folks and get them, really hooked on the product. So when they do reach the point where they have the disposable income to be able to start going to games, that they're already, firmly on board. That's all I can figure, because, the 20 somethings I know, and I've got sons that have just gotten out of that range. I've got a 34 and a 30, but they both absolutely love the NBA, and they are both in position if they want to, they can go to games. But a lot of the 20 somethings I know, are still starting out and still living in their parents' basement, and they're not going to be going to any games. So I don't know why that seems to me to be the target audience. And I don't know why they feel like they need to develop those folks at this stage. Maybe it's some kind of long-term strategy, but it's a head scratcher for me, because again, the in-game experience when you actually go to a game, obviously there's no thought on their part that, somebody sitting here in their early 60s like I am I'm not uncomfortable, but it's annoying. It takes my enthusiasm for being at the game away, which that shouldn't be happening. I mean, and again, it really bothers me that at key points, and I just mentioned this before, but I can't say it enough times, at key points of the game where the game needs to be what's happening, it doesn't alter the entertainment schedule whatsoever, which I just find to be ridiculous.
No, I look at the fan base too. I mean, if you look at a college, or let's go National Football League, because we're talking NFL and NBA, you look at an NFL fan base, say 3-4 rows up sitting on the 50 and what they're wearing. And then you look at an NBA fan that's sitting on the floor, it's insanely different. I mean, first of all, NBA fans, the women that are associated with the fanatics of the NBA are much better looking. I saw so many couples at an NBA game. And I've been to maybe 7 or 8 NBA games just over the last couple of years. I see so many more couples at games and people that you just would not imagine being matched up anywhere outside the FedEx Forum or the Phillips Arena or anywhere else. It's just amazing. And again, we're talking, and I hear you talk about this on Need to Know all the time. We're talking about, we're hurting for cash. We're having a hard time making ends meet. We got inflation. We got recession. We got all these things going on. And we're talking about people that are crying on TikTok because they can't afford a $1,700 Taylor Swift ticket. I'm probably going to take another job in order to go to this Lakers game this weekend. I'll do it for my kid because it builds memories. But yeah, I just think we have our priorities all mixed up a little bit when it comes to fan bases. But you know, people keep going, and I will be down at Legacy for the big March Madness situation, which I'm so happy is coming back to the Birmingham area, so we can talk about that a little bit.
That's great.
Yeah. Hey, Kip, great show, man. Greatly appreciate you. The Kiefer and Curry Show, of course, we're going to run this at least 5 times a week on Tony Curry Radio on the TKR app. Thanks to the 100,000 folks who've already downloaded the app. They listen to all of our shows. Listen to Kip's Need to Know show. It's on every single day of the week. And then, of course, if you love our show, podcast at Tony Curry Radio Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. We're available all over the place indefinitely. You can check out all of our shows right here. We'll do a new show every single week. Next week, I'm going to let you pick the topic and tell me where you want to go, and I'll hop on board. We'll get after it. Okay, brother?
I can't wait. This has been a lot of fun, and I hope some folks just like Need to Know. I hope we have some information there that will spark some thought, because provoking thought is what it's all about at this time.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.